The ashes are a very powerful symbol as we begin the season of Lent. And in Scripture, and especially in the Old Testament, ashes were used in times of great anguish when something terrible would happen. So a couple examples. In the book of Esther, Mordecai put ashes on his head when the king had issued an order to exterminate all of the Jewish race. So because they were all facing the execution, he was in great anguish and put ashes on. In the book of Job, when Job's flocks were destroyed and his children were killed, and he ended up with sores and boils all over his body, he sat on sackcloth and ashes. And so ashes were used as an expression of grief when people hit rock bottom, when they were in a terrible situation. And so why do we use ashes on Ash Wednesday? Why do we begin Lent with ashes? Because it's a recognition that something went terribly wrong in our world, and that there is something wrong within ourselves. We were created to reflect the goodness of God and to delight in his goodness. And we fall short of that. We're not there. And, you know, this isn't demeaning to who we are, but it's actually a reflection of the greatness that we're created for, but yet how far we often fall short of that. And in our world, we often get desensitized to the evil around us because it's everywhere. But think of something as simple as locking our car doors and the door of our house. Like, why do we have to do that? Well, we have to lock our car doors because if we don't, we're worried that somebody is going to break into our car and steal it or take the things that are inside of it. And we lock the door of our house in order to protect ourselves and our family so that someone doesn't come into our house and take our property and hurt us. That's not the glory that we were created for. You know, why do we have to have passwords on every single account that we have? It shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be in a situation where we're worried that other people are going to harm us out of greed and out of selfishness. But that's just one simple example of how broken our world is, in a way that we're often just get used to, but that's not the way that it's supposed to be. And we should be ashamed to be in a world where that's the reality. Because that's not what we're created for. You know, why do we need police and military and court systems? From the beginning, it wasn't supposed to be that way. You know, Adam and Eve were created in a state of perfect goodness. And it wasn't until they sinned against God that they experienced that brokenness and also the shame of recognizing that disorder, when their original innocence and purity was lost. And that's what we've inherited. You know, we participate in that brokenness every day. You know, we love things that we shouldn't love, and we resist things that we should be seeking after. You know, at the root of all the disorder is our disobedience and our alienation from God on different levels. You know, so often we don't trust him fully and his commands. If we did, we would always be obedient to him, and we would know that anything that's contrary to God's will is for our harm, and anything that God wants us to do is for our good. You know, if we had that perfect level of trust, we would be completely obedient to his will in every way. And yet we often fall short of that. And so that's why we come here on Ash Wednesday with ashes. It's an expression of the sorrow and the brokenness and the shame that's on a very deep level that we experience because we're broken and we're fallen. And there's some things that are just too deep for words. And it's that sorrow that we express with ashes. But the ashes aren't just about mourning and sorrow. Because when the ashes are imposed, they're imposed on our forehead in the sign of the cross. And so what that is a symbol of is that Jesus Christ has claimed us. Even in our brokenness, even in this terrible condition that we're in, we're His. When we're baptized, we belong to Him. And our hope is in Jesus Christ to restore our broken innocence in the purity and the goodness that we were created for. In order to attain that, though, we need to break our own self-will. You know, any way that our will is attached to things that are opposed to God's will. You know, we need to allow Jesus Christ to reign more fully within us. You know, why is it that we don't perfectly live according to Christ's commandments? You know, why is it that we often violate those? Well, we need to be healed. And that's where praying, fasting, and almsgiving come in, the three pillars of Lent. You know, these are meant to break the disorder within us and help us to grow in conformity to Christ so that He can reign more fully within us and that He can heal us and restore us. And so in prayer, we seek His voice. We seek to tune out all the noise and all the other voices in our world that are pulling us away from Christ, to hear Him more clearly. With fasting and other works of penance, that trains us in humility to deny our own desires so that we're not ruled by our own passions, so we have the freedom to respond to God's will. You know, very often we are ruled by our passions, so penance helps us to overcome that and to gain greater self-discipline. And then almsgiving, you know, we give the fruit of our labor to God through works of charity. And so that teaches us to first and foremost work for God and to be sacrificial rather than to be focused on ourselves. So it trains us in selflessness. And so we need all three of these pillars. All of them need to be part of our spiritual life for us to grow spiritually in a healthy way. And so there should be a sincerity in the way that we approach Lent in embracing all three of these. You know, sometimes the one that I hear people turn away from the most is penance or fasting. They'll say, well, I'm not going to give anything up this Lent. I'm just going to do good things. Well, it's good to do good things, but we do need to sacrifice. We do need self-denial, because if we lack that discipline in our spiritual lives, then, you know, we're very easy prey to the enemy, because we don't have that level of self-denial that helps us to overcome our desires. And so we shouldn't ignore what Christ says very clearly when you fast. You know, He wants us to do penance. He commands us to do penance. So it's important for us to make sure that all three of those pillars are part of our spiritual journey, and in a meaningful way as well. So, you know, I encourage us to, you know, as we begin Lent, first to allow the ashes to truly and authentically be a sign of our deep sorrow, that we recognize our shame and our own brokenness and the brokenness of this world. We should shed tears over how broken this world is compared to what it could be and what it was intended to be. And secondly, I encourage us to pray and to discern carefully what we can do in terms of the three pillars. What practical and real commitments can we make to deepen our prayer life, to hear God's voice more clearly? What acts of penance can we do to build self-discipline this Lent? And how can we commit to almsgiving in a way that builds generosity in our hearts? You know, this Lent, I encourage us not to allow our contrition to be in words or feelings, but to make sure that leads us to real steps in spiritual discipline, with meaningful prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.